What about the premenopausal patient with an ER-positive tumor? Obviously, there are very important randomized trials going on, particularly looking at the issue of ovarian ablation slash suppression, and an aromatase inhibitor. Right now, in a non-protocol setting, how are you approaching premenopausal patients like that?
In the main, we're giving them Zoladex and tamoxifen. Although in selected patients, we're giving them an AI. If, for instance, patients are clearly HER2 positive, we will combine Zoladex with an aromatase inhibitor. In those premenopausal women, we're also doing some interesting work on Faslodex. Previously with Faslodex in premenopausal women is that the dose they use in postmenopausal women didn't apparently show a benefit. So we've got a study that we'll be presenting probably in San Antonio later this year, where we've compared preoperative tamoxifen and preoperative Faslodex, but a dose of 750 milligrams. So that's three times the dose currently used in postmenopausal women. And it's clear already from our preliminary data that Faslodex is having some effect on these tumors. So the hope is we might have another agent which is useful in the premenopausal setting. Because one of the troubles about premenopausal women is we don't have enough good endocrine agents. We've got lots in postmenopausal women, but not in premenopausal women.
What about ovarian suppression plus Faslodex?
It's interesting, we've not done any work on that. I think the first thing we need to show is that Faslodex at the dose we're giving it is having biological effects. So this is the first study at this kind of dose. I think the other interesting thing is 750 sounds a lot. You know, it's three injections at one time, and we entered this study a bit concerned whether patients would tolerate that. In fact, we're going to present some data later this year at Nottingham, the International Conference at Nottingham, showing that it's remarkably well tolerated, and three injections don't cause that much pain. We've rated pain scores for all the injections, and it surprised us how well that has been tolerated.
So where do you do the injections?
We do currently one in each buttock and one in the hip.
But I mean, from the point of view, and there are a number of trials looking at, for example, continuing AIs, the SOPHIA trial starting in Faslodex, the concept of Faslodex as a competitor for estrogen. Sure, you can increase the dose, but it seems like it makes sense to get rid of estrogen through ovarian suppression.
Yeah, I think it does, but don't forget that even if you get rid of estrogen through ovarian suppression, the tumors still become resistant to that maneuver. And then what do you do then? You give them chemotherapy. The problem is you've got a limited number of therapeutic options in premenopausal women, and you can do ovarian suppression plus tamoxifen, and most people would combine ovarian suppression with another endocrine agent. You can do ovarian suppression with an AI, and then suddenly you've run out of options. You can use megase. But what we're saying is, you know, we're looking for introducing another option, which is perhaps Faslodex. And you're even in postmenopausal women, one of the reasons why we may not have seen the sort of results from Faslodex we expected was because it's a difficult drug to get into the body. There may be an issue of dosing. I know that a lot of the studies now are giving 500 milligrams as a loading dose and then 250 milligrams.
The strategy of using an AI plus ovarian suppression kind of came out of the metastatic setting where these patients got ovarian suppression, and then people said, well, maybe I'll just keep the suppression going on and treat the patient like a postmenopausal patient and give an aromatase inhibitor. Why wouldn't the same strategy make sense in terms of Faslodex?
It might do. It's just that the reality is we do have Faslodex in postmenopausal women. You know, we don't have that current option for premenopausal women. All we're doing is some work to see if Faslodex will work in premenopausal women. And then, you know, it might make sense to combine Faslodex with ovarian suppression. We'll look at that as well. But I think what we need to do, first of all, is demonstrate that we can produce some effect in premenopausal women with Faslodex.
Yeah, and I'm not suggesting any of this in terms of practical
No.
treatment. I'm thinking about more in terms of research strategy.
Yeah, I mean, the problem in terms of research strategy in premenopausal women is if you give them Zoladex, it takes 2 weeks to work. You know, and then, so if it takes 2 weeks to work and you give them Faslodex on top of that, then how long are you going to wait before they come to surgery? Currently, what happens is they get 14 days again of either tamoxifen or 14 to 16 days of Faslodex. So that's why that research strategy is like that. You'd have to have much longer to give them ovarian suppression and then give them Faslodex.
In the neoadjuvant setting.
In the neoadjuvant. There has been some work done. There are a few small studies in the premenopausal setting of neoadjuvant endocrine agents, usually ovarian suppression plus tamoxifen or plus an AI. And some of those studies have shown really very good responses. We did some work many years ago, even with Zoladex alone, showing you could get significant shrinkages from 3 months of Zoladex alone. So It's never really been explored very much, but it's an area that's begging out for somebody to look at it again, I think, neoadjuvant endocrine therapy in premenopausal women.
When I asked you about adjuvant hormonal therapy premenopausal women, you talked about LHRH agonist plus tamoxifen, and in some cases LHRH agonist plus an AI. What about tamoxifen alone?
For some of our low-risk patients, we do give them tamoxifen alone. I mean, some of the studies now are starting to suggest that tamoxifen alone may be as good as ovarian suppression plus tamoxifen. Problem is that the big study which influenced us, the Nancy Davidson study, didn't include a tamoxifen-only arm, and that was really unfortunate because that's now got us into using in these very younger women a combination of Zoladex and tamoxifen, because we saw a greater benefit from Zoladex and tamoxifen than we did from Zoladex alone in that study. That's the intergroup study. And yeah, I mean, it may be that at the end of the day, there's not enormous amount of benefit from giving a combination of Zoladex and tamoxifen. I suppose, you know, where our bias comes from is the metastatic studies that have been done that have compared Zoladex and tamoxifen with tamoxifen. They've shown a benefit from the combination and a survival benefit compared with tamoxifen alone. And usually what happens in the metastatic setting is translated into the adjuvant setting because, of course, many of our patients given adjuvant treatment have metastases anyway.